Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, who was born in Iowa, won the Iowa straw poll just 5 months ago, but came in dead last night in the caucuses, is hanging it up, saying Iowa voters have spoken.
I have decided to stand aside, and I believe that if we are going to repeal Obamacare, turn our country around, and take back our country, we must do so united. And I believe that we must rally around the person that our country and our party and our people select to be that standard bearer.
On his show, Rush Limbaugh is praising Michelle Bachmann, saying he's going to miss her. But Iowa pastors have reportedly been begging Bachmann to retreat and release her conservative followers to Rick Santorum, who was only 8 votes behind Mitt Romney last night. 8 votes. As Andy Borowitz blogs today, 8 Iowans have spoken. And today on Good Morning America, Romney painted Santorum as a career politician again, almost word for word what he's been saying on the stump.
And we have very different backgrounds. I spent my life, the first 25 years in the private sector. I know a great deal about how jobs are created, how they come and how they go. And I think Rick has spent most of his life in the governmental sector. Nothing wrong with that experience, but it's very different, I think, if you want to get the economy going again.
Radio Iowa News Director O.K. Henderson joins us again from Des Moines. Kay, we want to ask you about how Mitt Romney seems to just be sticking with a certain kind of script. But first, Michelle Bachmann, hours ago, quitting the race. Your thoughts on that?
I just exited the room where she exited a few moments ago. She was surrounded by media as she left this West Des Moines hotel, you know, asking her, are you going to endorse somebody? Are you going to run for reelection? She didn't answer those questions. She merely read about a 10-minute statement. But it was a really big contrast to her speech last night in which she said there was a chance that there'd be another Michelle living in the White House. The most interesting development after Bachmann dropped out was Rick Perry has said he's staying in. So this race is certainly developing into an interesting race on down the road in South Carolina.
Well, that's fascinating because Texas Governor Rick Perry said last night that he was going to go home he was very somber. He said he was going to go home to Texas to reassess.
Right. And as we were listening to Bachmann talking on stage and as she made that declaration that she was going to stand aside, there was a radio station in Texas that immediately reported that Perry had decided to stay in. So this is an incredibly wild race. Fasten your seatbelts, New Hampshire. It could be fun.
Well, you know, someone, a reporter from Daily Beast, said last night on Fox, anyone could have come in or tied Mitt Romney last night. It's been that kind of a race that if the caucus had been held at, you know, different times, it could have been
right.
Just about anybody.
Yeah.
Well, what is the buzz today? Is anyone awake? I mean, you know, what a caucus.
Yeah, exactly. Well, everybody's talking about these 8 votes and, you know, the 8 Iowans have spoken. I think the most fascinating figure from last night is Mitt Romney came within 6 votes of equaling the amount of votes he captured here in 2008. I think that is even the more remarkable number.
Well, because he didn't get more. But, you know, Romney supporters have said, well, wait a second, just months ago he wasn't even going to try in Iowa.
Right. So he made a last-minute flurry of campaign appearances here in Iowa, and that may have helped him, you know, eke out a victory. I don't think we've ever been able to appropriately use eke out a victory in a circumstance more than this one.
Yeah, but what does it all tell you going forward? Rick Santorum is being urged by the Wall Street Journal editorial board, which writes today that he's got to broaden his message to the economy from the social conservative message he's had in Iowa in order to go forward. Ron Paul, who's been, you know, sort of claiming a conservative mantle, talking about his faith, meaning his faith and his beliefs. But in Iowa, we'll probably shift more towards libertarian. In New Hampshire, we're going to talk with Dante Scala from New Hampshire in just a minute. But what's your sense of, you know, how Iowa has impacted the candidates going forward, but then how they might, you know, change their clothing while on the plane en route to New Hampshire?
Well, I think the most fascinating candidate to watch in the next few days will be Newt Gingrich. The speech he gave here in Iowa last night, you know, thanked Iowans for ignoring the negative ads and voting for him still for that 4th place finish that he made here. But it is clear he is going to take the gloves off and go after Mitt Romney in New Hampshire. So there's going to be this really keen competition between Newt Gingrich and, you know, maybe Rick Santorum, maybe Rick Perry, the two Ricks, if you will, to claim that anti-Romney place in the race. And boy, I'll tell you what, I'm going to be tuned to those two debates in New Hampshire this weekend to see what Newt Gingrich shows up. Because heretofore, his vitriol on the debate stage has been reserved basically for the reporters asking the questions. I suspect that he may have some really sharp rhetorical elbows to throw at Mitt Romney.
Right, and so we're going to look at New Hampshire. But as we leave you in Iowa, okay, Henderson, just your closing thoughts, perhaps, on Michelle Bachmann. I'm thinking of when she first burst on the scene for many of us, outside her area. She would wear her hair tied back and appear on the late-night cable shows saying congressmen should have Patriot Pledge tests. she seemed sort of like a wild card. She really did change and mold into a candidate over the last several months.
She was a dogged campaigner. She met dozens, hundreds, thousands of Iowans. She just could not seal the deal here for whatever reason. She sort of burst onto the stage because of debate performances in the summer, and then she won that straw poll. But immediately her star got stamped down by Rick Perry when he entered the race. Then he fell because of his debate performance, and she could never get a second look from people in the same way that Rick Perry couldn't get a second look.
Do you think, though, that do you think she is, I'd love to hear your thought, but also, do you think she is potentially a vice president nominee?
Well, of course, there have been rumblings that that's one of the reasons that she was not so sharp a critic of Mitt Romney, because she would like to be considered for a vice presidential spot come the general election. So that may be a part of her thinking. I mean, part of her thinking, as I mentioned earlier, people were shouting at her as she left, are you going to run for re-election? I think that's the next big decision that she has to make. Is she going to run for re-election?
Yeah.
Because I'm told by the folks up in Minnesota it could be bruising.
Yeah, well, so we'll keep an eye on that as well. But just as we leave you there in Iowa, okay, Henderson, we just want to play a little bit of a viral video that came out. There was also a conversation this caucus season of whether or not it should be Iowa. A lot of debate over whether, Iowa Nice was maybe a thing of the past, or maybe it was something that many Iowans felt was a false label anyway. And Iowa Public Television host spoofs all of this in a video that he's made. He says, Iowans aren't just a bunch of hillbillies on farms. And boy, he says it in a kind of provocative way. Let's listen.
Did your state legalize gay marriage before us? Probably not. The first woman in America to become a lawyer was in Iowa in 1869. You think we're all hillbillies? Well, 4 out of 5 of us live in the city's punk. So stop worrying about what we know and spend a little more time on what you don't know.
Scott Skeefer from Iowa Public Television. Okay, Henderson, news director at Radio Iowa. Thanks so much as we say goodbye to the state for another 4 years, at least when it comes to caucuses.
And it's good night for me.
Okay, that's right. That's right, Kate. Thank you.
Thanks for the invitation. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye. And now, like most of the candidates, we move to New Hampshire. Politico writes that Newt Gingrich couldn't get out of Iowa fast enough. But how important is this Granite State for GOP candidates? Let's turn to University of New Hampshire political science professor Dante Scala. Dante, we are hearing it's been a pretty sleepy primary season in New Hampshire, especially compared to 4 years ago. You had two primaries with the Democrats, Hillary Clinton crying in New Hampshire, we remember. And now there's been sort of, Mitt Romney's been campaigning there for 8 years. What's the sense?
Yeah, I mean, the energy is certainly not what it was in 28, in part because, as you said, there's just one party having a primary, but also because that's exactly how Mitt Romney wants it. He wants it New Hampshire nice, boring, predictable. He's made sure to tend to the political capital he invested here 4 years back. And so that's how things have been. And I think some other candidates have been a little gun-shy about venturing too far and investing too much in New Hampshire, knowing what a large lead Romney has really held from New Year's Day last year.
Yeah. Well, Newt Gingrich is apparently trying to wake everybody up, though. He came out with a full-page ad in the Union Leader newspaper today. They, of course, endorsed him. He describes himself as a bold Reagan conservative. There's a picture of him with that subtitle, and then next to that, a picture of Mitt Romney with the title Timid Massachusetts Moderate, a big insult from, the state across our border. But is he going to be able to do what he wants to do, which is what he said he wanted to do, which is get back at Mitt Romney for the super PAC ads that were run in his favor? Does he have the money to do that?
You know, I suspect the answer is no, that Gingrich does not have the money to do that. Gingrich has not been on the air in New Hampshire, and he's done precious little to build on the endorsement he received from the New Hampshire Union Leader back around Thanksgiving. So, you know, his moment in the sun looks a bit fleeting, not just in Iowa, but also here in New Hampshire. There's just not a lot to build on here in terms of organization, in terms of money, and in terms of momentum. That's dissipated as well. And it's exceptionally difficult to drive a message during these last several days before the primary because there's just so much noise out there, so much media.
Well, and you got the two debates coming up this weekend. John Podhertz, the conservative writer, says in the New York Post that's been the problem, these debates, because they allowed candidates like Herman Cain and Donald Trump to sort of, you know, excite TV viewers, but they didn't do anything for the party. Meanwhile, you've got Rick Santorum heading to New Hampshire with a post-caucus bounce. The CNN polls show a leap of 5 points for him. And you've just got John Huntsman, who devoted all of his time to New Hampshire. Will either of those candidates eat away at Mitt Romney's now, 47% lead there?
Yeah, I suspect, I don't know that anyone's going to make a real run at Mitt Romney and make him feel uncomfortable in New Hampshire. But I would say at this point, second through fifth place is pretty wide open in New Hampshire. I mean, Ron Paul is running a strong campaign, no question, but someone like, say, a Rick Santorum with some momentum. He has spent a lot of time in New Hampshire. That's kind of a lesser-known fact compared to his time in Iowa. But he's been in the state. His campaign manager knows the state. He may be able to make a lot out of a little this week.
And he says he's going to switch his thinking from the evangelical push that he's had in Iowa to jobs. But, you know, New Hampshire, while there are certainly jobless there, the jobless rate is lower than the country. What's he going to have to say in the few seconds we have?
You know, certainly he's got to find a way to navigate to reach mainstream New Hampshire Republican voters. And Santorum's problem is he has more of a working class message, not a message necessarily for affluent suburbanite.
Well, we'll see how it goes over. Dante Scala, political science professor at the University of New Hampshire. He's like the go-to guy for the New Hampshire primaries, and we'll, of course, speak to you up there. Dante, thanks so much.
You're welcome.